Going to take a break from our study of the book or the chapter, John chapter 10. We've been in John chapter 10 for the last few weeks. And so we're going to preach it again this morning. Psalm 119, and this, I don't know if you've ever noticed this. I'm sure that you have if you spend any amount of time in the scriptures and you spend any amount of time in church. I pointed this out before, but Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. It's all about His Word. If you look through every verse of the scriptures the verses in Psalm 119, you will find the words word, precepts, testimonies, law. Something about the Word of God is going to be in each and every one of those verses. And so I want to preach this morning out of verse number 165. Number 165. We'll go ahead and read all the verses that are in that little section there, 161 to 168. But 165 will be our main focal point for the message this morning. I want to speak to you this morning about having peace for the Christian. About having peace for the Christian, about not quitting, going on, not being offended as a Christian, not letting something being a stumbling block in your way as a Christian to go forward and to be faithful to God no matter what, just to have peace. How are we going to do that? How are we going to go forward without being offended as a Christian? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that we have experienced this past week and for another week that you've given to us, a good day today. You've surrounded us with people that we know and that we love. Lord, we've had fellowship. We've heard some good singing. And, Lord, we've just had good fellowship. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. Lord, we know that's of you. You've given us brothers and sisters in Christ. You've given us your Word. You've given us your Holy Spirit, which unites us all together. Lord, and we can just have fellowship, no matter where we come from, no matter what's going on in our lives, we can have fellowship. Thank you, Lord. We pray that you would help us this morning as we look into your word. I pray that we'd be encouraged and edified and strengthened, and that you'd speak to hearts, and you do what only you can do by your powerful Holy Spirit. We'll thank you for it, Lord. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 119, and we'll read verses 161 to 168. David is the author, I believe. He says, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all thy ways are before thee." Brother Joe, I haven't turned my mic on yet, so I will do that now. Verse number 165, he says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." It was the great Puritan Thomas Watson. He said, "If God be our God, he will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, he will make peace within. The world can create trouble and peace, but God can create peace and trouble." How are you and I going to go forward in the Christian life without throwing in the towel, without giving in, and without getting offended, something becoming a stumbling block in our way and stopping us from serving the Lord? The psalmist says, "Nothing shall offend those who love the Word of God." Jesus Christ said that we're going to have problems in the world. We can expect it. You can expect tribulation.
You can accept that you can expect problems and setbacks, and things are not always going to be rolling right along in life. You're going to run into problems in your life, and there's going to be the temptation for you to just get offended and stop and quit and quit being faithful. But the Bible was given to us as Christians to give us comfort and hope in times of trouble. I understand it's not just the Bible. I mean, we must go to Jesus Christ as well. It says in the book of Jude, it says, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. So Jesus Christ is the one that holds us up. And yeah, we can go forward and we can be faithful in times of trouble because of Jesus Christ and because of his great Holy Spirit. But we also have the Word of God. We have his Holy Spirit. Keep us from going away from the faith and from getting offended. Paul the Apostle wrote in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. He said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That'd be the Old Testament, the entire Bible actually, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Why do we emphasize the Bible so much here? Why is the Bible the main focus of our worship service? I mean, we try to emphasize the Bible. Look, you need to read the Bible. You need to memorize the Bible. Obey the Word of God. Do all of these things because that's what's going to give us our hope. That's what roots us and grounds us in our Christian life. Someone who doesn't know the Bible, they don't read the Bible, they don't meditate upon it, most likely they're going to get offended and they're going to quit and they're probably not going to stick with it. We're still going to have disagreements in this life with others. We're going to have conflicts with brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to come in contact with other believers and they're not going to like your Bible. They're not going to like your faith. They're not going to like your what you do. But we can still go forward. We can still be faithful. God is a God of patience. God is a God of consolation. God is faithful to us, and we are going to be able to go forward. But our purpose as Christians is just to be faithful. It's just to stay faithful to God, because a faithful Christian is going to glorify God. That's what glorifies God. Someone who stays with it, who sticks with it, who stays faithful to God no matter what. You stay with it. You don't get offended. You don't stop. You keep going. That brings glory to God. A Christian who quits and throws in the towel and quits on God, that doesn't glorify God. That doesn't bring glory to God. And the psalmist says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing's going to stop them. Nothing is going to be a stumbling block. They're going to continue to be faithful to God, and it is the love for the Word of God that keeps them faithful. Instead of getting offended in this life, instead of stopping, how do we as Christians maintain peace and serenity whenever life throws us a curveball? And something comes our way that we didn't know was coming. We began to throw in the towel and say, what's the use? Quit. Stop. How do we endure? You ever felt like quitting before? Everyone has. Well, this happened, and so I'm going to stop. I'm going to quit. It's enough of this Christianity stuff. Three qualities are in view for the child of God to avoid offense and continue in faithfulness. What must we have? Well, number one, we must have a great love. It is because of who these people are that they are able to go forward and not be offended. They have a great love. That's who they are. We find that in verse 165. Great peace are they which love thy law. Would you be in the number of those people? Could someone say about you, hey, they are the ones that love the Word of God? That's just who they are. Everything about them screams that they love the Bible. They love it. They love the Word of God. And we see the psalmist, he has a great love for the Word of God in just these few verses that we read here. Verse 161 says, he says, "My heart stands in awe of thy word." Man, I look at your word, I read your word, I am amazed. I stand in awe of thy word. Verse 162, he says, "I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great spoil." Boy, I found the word of God, and man, it is everything to me. It is like a hidden treasure that I found, and I love it. That's how much I love it. Verse 163, he says, "I hated abhor lying, but thy law do I love." Verse 164, he says, "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." Verse 167, he says, "My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly." Well, the psalmist, he had a love for the Word of God, didn't he? And when times of turbulence come, he was willing to obey the Word of God. Not just love it, but he wanted to obey it. He said, "I want to do what it says. I want to obey the Word of God." Can I tell you this morning that he didn't just obey it strictly out of duty? He didn't say, "Well, you know, I've got to do this. The Word of God says I have to do this, and so therefore, I guess I'll go ahead and do it. It's my duty." No, that's not his attitude. His attitude was from his heart. He said, "Man, I want to obey it. I love the Word of God, and I want to obey it." Why do you obey the Lord? Why do you do it? What's your motivation? "Well, got to do what the Lord says, so therefore, I guess I'll go ahead and do it." Are you excited about it? And you say, "Yeah, I want to obey God. I want to obey the Lord." Amen. What's your motivation? Why do you obey God? The Pharisees did all their works, and they did it just for their reputation. Just so they could be seen as godly, just so people would look up to them and they could get a good standing in the community. Yeah, they did the Word of God. They obeyed it, but it was just because of their reputation. Jesus Christ warned his disciples. He says, "You better watch out, because all of their works they do to be seen of men." That's the only reason they're doing it. Oh yeah, they've got the right clothes, and they even go over and above and beyond what the law says. They make broad their phylacteries. They enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uppermost feast rooms, all of that. They love it. But why were they doing it? Their reputation. They wanted to look good. They wanted people to think well of them. They wanted people to look at them and say, "Man, look at those people. They are so holy and so righteous." And Jesus Christ warned his disciples. He said, "You better watch out." He says, "Whenever you put your money into the offering plate, you do your alms, you do all of that, don't do it so everyone can see you. Throw in the money in the offering. Don't sound a trumpet before yourself so everyone will know that you've been putting money in the offering plate. When you do it, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. You do that in secret. Because if you do it where everyone can see you, well, you have your reward. Everyone thinks well of you. And your Father sees what you're doing." He says the same thing about praying. He says, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of the religious elite, they like to go out and they like to pray out on the street corner to where everyone can see them. Wow, look at those people. They are so holy. He says, but when you pray, you go into your prayer closet where no one can see you, and your Father, which sees you, will reward you one of these days. Well, that's the reason that they were doing it. They drew nigh to God with their mouth, but their heart was far from the Lord. Yeah, it was all about lip service. It was all about the things that they said, but they didn't do what they said because they were seeking a reputation. What's your motivation this morning for the things that you do? They were more interested in their traditions and all of that. And it wasn't their heart. Their heart didn't motivate them. Not heart for the Lord. It wasn't. Do you love God this morning? Do you love His Word, or do you love yourself? Is that your motivation? Is it all for you? Or would you be in the number of those that love the Word of God? Could someone say of you, "Hey, they love the Lord, the law of God. They love the Word of God." It's been said, you are what you love. Everything that you devote your time to, everything that you devote your money to, everything that you devote your resources to, that's what means the most to you. Why do you do it? Do you love the Word of God? Is it for the love of the law of God? If you want to avoid offense, you have to develop a love for the Word of God. Because if you don't love the Word of God, then most likely you're not going to stick with it. You're going to get offended, you're going to turn away, and you're going to stop. You have to love the law of God. But can I tell you this morning that a great love for the Word of God is going to produce something in your life? You're going to get something from it. You have a great possession that you're going to get when you love the law of God. Great peace. Great peace. He says, great peace have they. You've obtained something whenever you love the Word of God. A great peace. A great love for the Word of God produces a great peace. And so everyone really is trying to obtain peace, aren't they? Everyone's looking for it. Everyone's trying to get it. You're trying in some way, shape, or form. Everyone's trying to get peace, and everybody wants peace. Everyone's trying to get world peace. They don't want any more wars. They don't want any more fighting. They don't want any more turmoil in their hearts. They want peace. They're looking for it. And your heart and your conscience will never be at rest until you find that peace that you're looking for. And the psalmist gives us the way to get it right here. Love for the Word of God, you can have great peace. Do you know you can have peace with God? Psalmist found it in verse 161. He says, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. He said, you know, I have been persecuted without a cause. I didn't deserve this persecution that I have. But he says, my heart standeth in awe of thy word. He says, I am at peace with God, even though bad things are happening in my life right now. I got persecuted, bad things are happening, but yet I'm still at peace with God. He allowed it to happen. He allowed these things to come into my life, allowed these things to happen, but I'm at peace with it. Why? Because God's the ultimate and final judge, and if He allows it, okay. I'm at peace with God. What about you this morning? Are you at peace with God? No matter what happens, what comes into your life, what might happen, are you still at peace with God? Or do you get mad at God? Say, why, God, did you let this happen to me? Why? I didn't deserve this. Or are you at peace with God about it? Because of what the Word of God has to say. He's the ultimate and final judge. He says in verse 164, he says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. God is a righteous judge. And he will always do right no matter what happens in my life, no matter what happens in your life. God is a righteous judge and he will always do right. Do you have that kind of peace? I must say that I fail sometimes. I question God sometimes just like everyone does. Why? Why? But he's still able to praise God in difficult seasons of his life. God said it, okay. I'm okay with it. You can have peace with God today if you're not saved. It says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No more enmity. No more division between you and God. No more problems between you and God. You can have that peace. Do you have it? Do you have that peace? He had peace with himself. Find that in verse 163. He says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Man, the Word of God had gotten into David's life and it had done something in his life and it had changed his heart about sin and he was getting the sin out of his life because of the Word of God and he's having peace with himself. Well, he used to destroy himself, but then the law of God came in. And now he has peace with himself. He says, I hate and abhor lying. I hate that sin. The law of God had helped him to put to death the evil deeds of the flesh that had so enslaved him. And now he has peace with himself. The Word of God will do that for you. That's why you need to come to church. That's why you need to read the Bible. That's why you need to obey the Bible. Why? Peace with yourself. Because if you ignore the Bible and you ignore God's Word and you do all that, you're going to destroy your life. You will. You need someone. You need God. You need God. You need His Word. You need His church. You need His Spirit. You need His Son. You need all of those things. And I need all of those things. Because without that, we will self-destruct. And you won't be at peace with yourself. We're going to have peace with our neighbors. Do you know the Bible gives us the formula for how to get along with each other and how to have peace with our neighbors? The Bible tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. The Bible tells us to love our enemies. Do you know if we practice that, if everyone practiced that on the entire planet, we would not have any more crime. We would not have any more riots. We would not have any more police brutality. We would not have any more racism. We would not have any more crime. We would not have any more murder. We would have none of that if we would just love our neighbors as ourselves. And the Bible tells us to do that. And we can have peace with our neighbors. The Bible says love will cover a multitude of sins. But what do we want to do? Well, we want to take revenge. I know they did something to me, and boy, I'm going to get them back. I don't care what it is. I'm going to get them. I'll get revenge. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 17, he says, recompense to no man evil for evil. He says, don't try to take revenge on people. You ever do that before? Well, I'm not going to go and I'm not going to punch him in the nose, but I'll get him some way. I'm going to give him the silent treatment. I'll give him the silent treatment. I won't talk to him. I won't look at him. I'll act like they're dead, and that's the way that I'll get him back. I'll get him back, though. I guarantee you. I'm going to tweet something. I am not going to mention their name. I'm going to put something on Facebook, and I'm not going to mention their name, but I am going to get them back because they did something to me, and I'm going to take revenge. That's not loving your neighbor. That's not being forgiving. We must love one another. We can have peace with others. And true peace, perfect peace, only comes from God. That's where it comes from. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, the perfect peace that comes from God, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. It comes from God this morning. That's where the peace comes from. It doesn't come from any place else. Yet people are searching for it all over the place. How do I get this peace? How do I get it? It only comes from the Lord. I don't know how many people have ever used a compass before. You know, I used to hold that compass and the needle would tremble until it got over there to the north part and then it would be steady. But you know that the heart of man will tremble and it will tremble until it gets stayed upon Jesus Christ. That is what keeps us steady and that's what keeps us stable. Why? Because as the song we heard this morning from Miss Gale, he will never change. He never changes. Circumstances change. World is going to change, but our Savior doesn't change. His promises don't change. They will always be there. Jesus Christ reassured his disciples before he left. He says, my peace I leave with you. I'm leaving my peace with you. Not as the world giveth. Because the world can offer you some peace, but it's not going to be lasting peace. Oh, we got some political solutions to the problems of the world. That's what we're going to do. Oh, we have some social programs that we can enact. And yes, it will last for a little while, but it doesn't last forever. But the peace of God is everlasting peace. It lasts no matter what comes in your life. No matter whether it's death, no matter whether it's war, no matter what it is, there is peace with the Lord. Peace. Do you love the Word of God? Have you obtained that peace? For it to continue, we must obtain peace. Not you're going to throw in the towel, you're going to quit, you're going to get offended, and you're going to stop. But obtaining peace gives way this morning to a great blessing. You get a great blessing. You know what that blessing is? It's freedom. Freedom. He says in verse 165, he says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Wouldn't it be great to go through life and never get offended?
Yeah.
Never get offended? You know the kind of freedom that you would have if you never got offended? Oh, well, okay. That happened. They said this about me. They don't like me. Okay. I'm okay. I wish I could do that. But I'm not that way, and neither are you. He says nothing shall offend them. The psalmist is experiencing great freedom right here because nothing's going to offend me. Nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to be an obstacle. I'm going to keep on going. I have faith, and his love for God is not going to stop me. He's got great freedom. No matter what happens in his life, no matter whether he gets persecuted, no matter who says anything, he's got a great blessing of freedom. You know, those who love the Word of God, those who love the God of the Word, have obtained a great freedom. We live in a society today. We live in a world today. We're supposed to be the land of the free and home of the brave. But we are not free. We are not free. Because people are so offended, so easily offended, that they are not free. They are slaves to the opinions of others. They are slaves to their own feelings, and they can't go forward because they just get offended, so offended. I was watching a video, probably been more than a year ago now. There was a video of a man who got highly offended, and this man, mind you, was built like a football player, muscular guy, had kind of longish hair, carrying a purse. He goes into a convenience store. This is on video. He goes in and the cashier says, okay, thank you, sir. Man, that was the line that was drawn in the sand right there. He says, you don't do that. He says, it is ma'am. It is not sir, it is ma'am. And boy, he got mad, started cussing, throwing a fit. He says, you have just offended the transgender community because you have called me sir, and it is ma'am. It is ma'am. And he got mad, stomped out, says, I'm going to sue you. Here it comes, because it is ma'am. It is not sir. I would have called him sir because he looked like a sir. But he got so offended, he could not finish his day because he had just gotten offended. And his happiness depended on a title that did not belong to him. We get offended. You know, Christians are the same way. They get offended. Oh, they didn't treat me right. The preacher said something that I know he was talking about me. I know that he was eyeballing me when he said it too. And, you know, I'm not coming back anymore. I'm not going to put no more money in the offering plate because I know he's after me. Got offended. Preacher probably wasn't even thinking about you when he said it. He's just saying something. And sometimes preachers worry about that. You know, here I go. I said something that offended them, and I wasn't thinking about them, but they could have got offended. People leave the church, and they ain't coming back. I can't serve God anymore because I got offended. You don't have any freedom. You don't have any freedom. Hey, man, get free. So what? I need to get free. So what? Who cares what people think? Who cares what people say? So what? The world hates you. So what? They're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. Don't worry about it. Just go on and do it anyway. Go ahead and be a Christian. So what? Don't get offended. Can't be offended. And I would warn you as Christians, look, don't offend other people just because you can. Don't be an obstacle. Don't be a stumbling block to other people. I'm not talking about watering down the truth, but I'm talking about watching the way that we act and watching the way we behave and watching the way that we say things. To other fellow Christians and to lost people alike, look, don't offend them just because you can. Well, I'm a Christian and therefore I can be a jerk. No, you can't. No, you can't. We must take great care in how we interact with others, both Christians and non-Christians alike. Just because you can say something doesn't mean that you should say something. Sometimes we just need to keep our mouth closed. and not say something. Like I said, I'm not talking about preaching the gospel and preaching the truth. I'm not talking about that. Yeah, we have liberty in Christ, but it matters how we use our liberty. Because if it affects somebody else and it causes somebody else to stumble, then it becomes a sin to you and I for the way that we used our liberty. We must. Watch it. Watch it. When you're free from offense, you don't seek revenge on other people. You know what's in the Lord's hands. Just let it go. I need to just let it go. When you're free from offense, you're not a complainer. You don't go around complaining. I don't go around complaining. But people get offended. People get offended and they do those kinds of things. He says, great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Have you experienced the great peace in your life in spite of the trials and troubles that you're going through? Have you achieved that yet? Or have you become offended? Have you quit? I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to go forward anymore. I'm not going to be faithful anymore because I've become offended and something's hindered me from pressing on and stopping. I'm just not going to do it. I encourage you this morning to do these things, to stand in awe of the Word of God, just like the psalmist did in verse 161. Could I encourage you this morning to rejoice in the Word of God? Could I encourage you this morning to love the law of God, to fall in love with God's Word once again? To keep praising Him because of His Word and keep hoping in His Word. Well, yeah, don't you see what the world's doing? Don't you see how things are going in this world? Don't you see it? Yeah, I see it. Salvation is still an established fact. It doesn't matter. We're still going to be saved. If they take our lives, if you lose your life today, good news, you're still saved. You're still saved. And you have eternal life and you're going to heaven. That's where you're going. We can be faithful to God. We can be faithful to God because God is faithful to us. We can. But those who are unfamiliar with the Word of God, most likely they're not going to keep pressing on because they don't know the promises of God and they don't know the God of the promises. They don't know it. They haven't gotten into His Word. They look around at the situations and they quit. Don't be deceived this morning. Did you know that Jesus Christ is still on the throne? Amen. Nobody's kicked Him off.
That's right.
God's still on the throne. He's still ruling over all things. And He's going to bring it down to the end, just like He planned.
Amen.
He started it, and He's going to finish it.
Yes,
and so we can be faithful no matter what.
Amen.
And we can have great peace while we do it, and we can still love the Word of God, and we can still love others.
Yes,
so let's do that this morning.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us. Lord, I pray that You'd help us and strengthen us in the days to come. Pray that You'd help us to be faithful to You, no matter what happens. Pray that You'd help us not to get offended. Pray that You'd help us, Lord, not to offend others when we don't have to. Lord, I thank You for Your Savior, Jesus Christ, for the love that we have in Him, for the hope that we have in Him, for the strength and the wisdom that we have in Him. Lord, may we exalt Him and magnify Him and glorify Him in the days to come. We'll thank You for it. Lord, we love You and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.